Good morning.
Good morning.
In 2 weeks, we start a new quarter of our classes, Sundays and Wednesday classes. We start that in December, and so we still need a teacher for our Wednesday night newborn to two-year-old class, our baby class, and we need a teacher Sunday and Wednesday for the two-year-old class. And so you can sign up on the sheet in the foyer regarding those classes that will start in 2 weeks. Don't you really dislike people when they act like a jerk? Right? I mean, is there anyone in your life that you have to see or deal with, work with, be around, and it is just hard to be around them sometimes? It's hard to deal with them sometimes. Have you ever wondered if God might look at this person a little different than you look at them? I'm pretty sure God does, because if we were God, when people acted up, we would strike them down. I mean, at the very least, we would put a little hurt on them. And quickly, you know, bad people would have a lot of bad things coming their way. God doesn't do that. Have you ever wondered why? This morning we're going to look and see people differently. And we're going to see them as God sees them. Turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. One of the greatest examples of a person seeing bad people differently than how God saw them is the story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. And the story of Jonah, I also think, is one that as adults we come to learn really, I guess, the complete story, because as a child, this is a classic story that we learn as children in Sunday school. Jonah, you know, God told him to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. And he winds up, a storm comes up that God sent, and he throws himself overboard, and God provides a large fish to swallow him and spits him out on shore. I mean, it's a great graphic story for kids. And then Jonah decides he does want to go to Nineveh. So that's the story. And Nineveh repents. What a great ending. But the whole story is the fact that Jonah didn't want to go, not because he was afraid of the Ninevites, but because he hated the Ninevites. He hated the Ninevites for good reason. They were ruthless, brutal, wicked people. They were the enemy. They were a brutal enemy. And he preaches to them, and they repent, and Jonah is mad. He's got to be one of the few preachers who had a mass of people come forward at the invitation, so to speak, and he's mad. Jonah is mad, and he says, "O Lord, is this not what I said when yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." It's kind of odd for a person to complain about God being so merciful. But when God sees our enemies differently than how we see them, that's how something like this could come about. So I want us to walk away today understanding three things about how God sees people and how we can see people more like God does. And the first one is God sees the effects of Satan. There was an occasion where Jesus, and there was a time in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus is telling his disciples more and more. He's trying to prepare them, and he tells them, "I'm going to die. They are going to kill me. The Jewish leaders, they are going to kill me, and on the third day I will be raised." And there's an occasion where Jesus is saying this, and Peter corrects Jesus. And Peter says to Jesus, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen." Jesus says, "They're going to kill me." Peter says, "No, this isn't going to happen, Jesus." And Jesus' answer to Peter is pretty remarkable. Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He calls Peter Satan. "You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Kind of interesting that here Peter is trying to defend Jesus, saying, "Jesus, we'll protect you. You're not going to die. Surely not." And Jesus realizes when he looks at Peter, he doesn't just see Peter. But he realizes Satan is working in Peter. Do you think Jesus was ever tempted to divert from the mission of the cross? And Jesus sees that in Peter. Remember Judas' betrayal. Before Judas betrays Jesus in the garden, before this happens, Jesus is having the Passover feast with the apostles. It's the same occasion where Jesus washes their feet. So it's before the full feast of the Passover. He's instituting the Lord's Supper. But at this time, verse 2 of John 13 says, "During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." We get a little glimpse of temptation here with Judas. We know Judas betrayed Jesus. Incidentally, the apostles resented Judas greatly for this. We see a little bit about that as he's spoken about after he hangs himself. But verse 27 says, "Then after he had taken the morsel," meaning Judas, "Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, 'What you're going to do, do quickly.'" There came a point where Jesus knew Judas was going to do this. It was Judas's choice to betray Jesus. But remember, that occasion is the result of Satan winning a battle in Judas's life. When we sin, we do so because Satan has won a battle. Right? So when you think about other people, when other people sin, Satan is winning battles in their lives. Think about people who are jerks. Think about people who are mean or rude or selfish or arrogant or prideful. Right? Things that are really ugly to us or offensive to us. When they are doing that, we are not seeing that person at their best. We are seeing Satan winning in their life. And the same way Satan gets the best of us, sometimes when we give in to temptation, he does that with other people. He has an influence in their life. Last night I get a strange call from Karen Cotty. She says, "Elliot?" I say, "Yes, Karen?" "Do you by chance have remote access to the computer in your office from home?" At first I thought that was kind of an odd question. And then I realized she's up here cleaning the building. And she's dumping the trash in my office. And she sees me from home working on my computer. Tori has us in this, right, space age technology here. I can access my computer here from home and work on it and pull up what I need. So I'm doing that last night from home. Karen's dumping my trash. And she looks and sees things popping around on my computer. Right? Cursor, somebody typing. Right? A little freaked out. Now, if I'd have thought quick enough, I'd have said, "Karen, is the chair facing the computer?" It kind of weirded her out a little bit. When we see people acting ungodly, we're seeing Satan work in their life, aren't we? I don't mean demon possession, but I mean the devil is having his way. When Jesus looked at Peter, he saw Satan. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. This is Satan working in your life." And when we see people acting ungodly and realize they are acting because of the effects of Satan, then we are starting to see them as God does. Remember Galatians, turn to Galatians chapter 5. This is a great passage on, we have two different descriptions of how people may act. We have works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. So we have one description is when Satan is winning in someone's life, here's what it's going to look like. And the other is when God and the Spirit are winning in someone's life, here's what it will look like. But verse 16 says, Paul says, "I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." There's a part of you that wants to do good. And there's a part of you that wants to do bad. And that same conflict exists in everyone. Even the people we don't like. Even the people who are acting ungodly. The people who are acting in ways that just irritates us to the core. They have that same battle. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Some of these may not sound like idolatry is a little different today than it was years ago. Incidentally, Scripture talks about greed being idolatry. Greed is our idolatry, what we struggle with. Sexual immorality has always been a struggle from the beginning. Sex between husband and wife is moral, and all other is immoral, and it always has, and it always will be. But these things have continued through all time. Strife, jealousy. Do you know anyone who's jealous? Do you know anyone who gets anger, has fits of rage? Drunkenness. These are Satan winning in people's lives. Remember what Satan's goal is. When Satan's working in your life, what's his goal? His ultimate goal is to lead every soul to hell. But his goal in this lifetime is to make a big mess of things. And his goal in this church, remember our theme this year is unity. His goal in this body is to get us in conflict with each other. Isn't it? To get us offended by someone else here. To get us irritated with someone else here. Because the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Satan wants to make a mess of things. And when we see people acting that way, we're seeing, whether you see it on TV, whether you see it in the workplace, in your own home, when we see it, we are seeing Satan winning battles. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians. He said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Right? Ephesians 6, verse 10, 12. Our real battle is not flesh and blood. But our true battle is the spiritual forces of evil. And so the first thing, we can help ourselves by seeing people and seeing Satan's effects, Satan working in their lives. Secondly, God, when He looks at people, He sees potential. When we look at people, we may tend to see them as they are in the moment, and that's who they are. Can you imagine if someone saw you on your worst day, at your worst, and they thought, well, you know, that's just how this person is. But God sees our potential. Genesis 1:27, great scripture on our design. It says, God created man in His own image. Incidentally, this verse says the same thing three different ways. Each time it says God created man, okay, mankind. God created man in His own image, and then it reverses it. In the image of God, He created him. And then it clarifies, male and female, He created them. Men, if you ever are struggling with the design of the female and wondering why, and you know this foreign design, I mean, we could call it human 2.0, because Eve was made after Adam. But remember, when God made Adam and Eve, He made His image in both. When men don't understand women, it is because they're not understanding the other part of God's image. It's easy to throw stones and say, you know, women are this or that. And by the way, ladies, the same thing with you. If men weren't so A, B, or C, pig-headed. I know someone in here is thinking pig-headed, so I'll just say it. If men weren't so pig-headed, isn't it interesting when you're looking at the opposite sex and the differences that are puzzling to you, you are looking at the other design, the other image, the other part of God. God made us in His image, male and female, in God's image. When God sees us, He sees the good, inherent, original design of what He put in us. Back to Galatians. Fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that when God wins in our lives, this is in every person. This potential is in all of us, isn't it? When God wins in our lives, here's what it looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you see this in a person, have you ever seen anyone that acted this way? Do you know anyone that acts this way? You're seeing God winning in their life. It may be tempting to give a person too much credit, truly. To say, I tell you what, this person, man, they're golden. They are so good. And while there's truth in that, the ultimate truth is God is winning in the design that He made. God's goodness is what we're seeing in the way God always wanted it to be. I appreciate Alan's prayer last week. If you were here last week and you remember when Alan prayed, he made the statement, he said, about a church family and a church family that has your back and will lift you up. That's what God has always wanted. Love, joy, a church that was peaceful, a church that was patient, a church that when you fell would help pick you up. That's God living in our lives. Remember 1 Corinthians 13. This is how God is guiding us to see people this way. But part of what love does is love believes all things. It hopes all things. Have you ever heard something bad about someone you knew? Something that happened that was bad. Something that someone said they did. But you knew them and you liked them and you loved them. And when you heard that, your mind immediately went to possible explanations. Maybe that wasn't quite right. Maybe this is a misunderstanding. Maybe this person that I know meant this or that. And you thought all these good, you know, you thought the best. You were giving them the benefit of the doubt. You were hoping all things. When God sees our enemies, we want to throw stones. And God is looking at the potential of that person and what is still good within them. Number three, God sees souls that need saving. When Jesus called His apostles, you know, don't forget, one of the apostles that Jesus chose, they were all pretty ordinary men. They were not the elite of the elite. But one of the men that Jesus chose was Matthew. First book of the New Testament. Matthew, and I tend to forget this because I think of him as the apostle and the author, but Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors, by nature of the business, were so despised by the Jews. I would say most of them were crooked, unethical in the way that they obtained taxes from people. It was built into the system that it just by nature it would kind of be that way. But tax collectors were viewed by the Jewish religious leaders as sinners. And Scripture will say many times, and they accused Jesus of hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. It's kind of like tax collectors and all other kind of sinners. They despised Jesus for that. The Jewish leaders, those religious people, they would not do that. They would not eat with sinful people, okay? But Jesus would. And they condemned Jesus for that. And Jesus responds by saying this in Matthew 9:12. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." When the Pharisees looked at people acting ungodly, what did they see? Sinners. When Jesus saw those same people, what did He see? Jesus saw sickness, spiritual sickness. He said, that's who needs a physician, one who's sick. Jesus came as a spiritual physician, one who could heal sickness, right? Ultimately, by His death on the cross. When you have a family member who is sick, how do they act? When Stephanie is sick, I'm a pretty good nurse for about one day, I think. Now, I might not even get that kind of rating from her, but I give myself a rating of like 5 stars for the first day taking care of her when she's sick. After that, my rating goes quite a bit down. Because when she's sick, she's grumpy and she's grouchy. And whatever I'm doing to try to take care of her is not enough, or it's not on time, or it's not soon enough, or not the right kind. You ever have a family member and when they're sick, you take care of them, and they are grouchy and grumpy, right? Why would they be grouchy and grumpy? Because they don't feel good, right? When we don't feel good, we don't act good. I mean, that's just how it is. When we see people acting ungodly, we are seeing spiritually sick people, aren't we? They don't feel good. They don't feel good spiritually. They don't have enough God in their life. They don't have peace and love and joy and patience and kindness. And we're seeing Satan win in their lives. And when Jesus saw them, he saw people who needed saving. Remember at the end of the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, he goes, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And Jesus going through town, Zacchaeus climbs the tree. Jesus not only stops and talks to him, which was amazing, but Jesus says, come down, I'm going to eat at your house tonight. And at the end of that whole story of Jesus and his encounter with Zacchaeus, the statement is made, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We need to see lost people. When God looks at people who are acting in awful ways, God sees lost people that need saving. I'm glad tonight, I appreciate Rick for what he's doing tonight with the class. Our teen class this morning was about outreach and evangelism. And I want to remind our teens that they can come to this class tonight. Incidentally, be praying for Keith. He is sick this morning. But our Sunday night for the Master, one of the things we want to capitalize tonight on is spending a little time training ourselves a little more to reach the lost. That's the ultimate mission of the church, is to reach lost people. I just wanted to remind us, a lot of the lost that we're trying to reach, they act like jerks. And Satan wants me to see them as a jerk that I need to wish I didn't have to deal with. And God says Satan's winning in their life. They need more Jesus. They need more patience. This is a person who is spiritually sick. They need help and they need saving. And so think about this. The next time somebody, and I'll say it this way, although it's inaccurate, when someone makes you mad, right? Because people can't really, they don't have the power to make me feel anything. They act ungodly and I choose to get mad. I want to remind you, don't get mad. Be praying. See what is working in their life, and that is Satan. We're going to have a song of encouragement this morning. If you're here this morning and you have a need, if you'd like, we'd love to stop and pray for you. If there's someone here that is not right with God, you're not ready for Jesus to come, and you want to become a Christian this morning, we'd love to help you with that. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
I'm seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried.